Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day to worship. We come before you this day to turn our hearts towards you. We come for your teaching. We come for your word, for your mercy and your grace. So open our hearts to love, our minds to perceive, our ears to hear. Be with us this morning, we pray. Amen. Now, some of you may already know that I don't drink tea or coffee. Now, because of this, the days when I feel slow and sluggish and like I'm walking through treacle, I turn to energy drinks. Now, before anyone starts, I know that they're bad for me, and I have switched to the sugar-free ones. But as I was preparing for this morning, as I was reading and rereading our passage, it sparked in me a memory. A while ago, me, Paul, and our lovely Joel over there, who provided me this morning with my Monster Energy, and specifically one with Day of the Dead skulls on it for added emphasis of my point. Thank you, Joel. We're at St. James doing some work. Well, they were doing work, I was watching. You all know how it works. And Joel noticed that I was drinking said can of energy drink. And he began, after noticing, to tell me about a very popular conspiracy theory. I know it doesn't sound anything like Joel. About Monster Energy. And about how the symbols and the iconography on it mean that it's from the devil and it's evil. I already knew about the theory because I frequent the internet. And hearing it, my response was quite nonchalantly, it's what comes out of the body that defiles it, not what goes in. And so, I'm not worried. And I continued to drink. I think I opened a second can, to be fair, which goes to show how much of a problem I have. So when, in preparation for this morning, I was reading this passage, it really struck me like never before how significant it actually is. As I said that statement very nonchalantly, almost as if it was a quip, like it was a bit of Bible top trumps. But here today, we are going to be looking at one of the scriptures that makes that phrase possible. A scripture that moves faith away from being about empty ceremony and towards truly authentic worship. Worship of the heart. A worship that challenges what it really means to be obedient to God. And so today, we come once again to Matthew's Gospel. We continue on in our deep dive that we started all those months back. We continue on in our journey through the parable. And we come today to Matthew 15, verse 1 to 20. That which defiles. Once again, we find ourselves in a familiar setting of controversy. As we read in Matthew 15, verse 1 and 2, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Pay close attention to the response of Jesus, and two main points begin to emerge. Both highly significant, not only for Jesus and his controversy with the Pharisees of his day, but also for Matthew and the continuing controversy with the Pharisees as he went about his ministry. We read in Matthew 15, verse 3 to 6, Jesus replied, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your traditions? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares, that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honour their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. And so the first point is this. The first point Jesus makes is that God's word, not human tradition, is the basis for authentic worship. The Pharisees had a whole collection, pages upon pages, of ritual laws. Just one section among them was the section on the ceremonial rules of cleanliness. And just a part of that was the rules on washing your hands before meals. The main point of the controversy was this. The Pharisees had developed a whole swath of earthly traditions and additions to the law passed down to Moses. They regarded these modifications, known as the traditions of the elders or the oral law, as of equal value to the Torah, to our Old Testament, since they claimed that both were derived from what Moses received on Mount Sinai. Jesus, in fact, does not directly reply to their comment, but in typical rabbinic fashion, he asks a counter question, as we read in Matthew 15:3. Jesus replied, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition?" Here he is challenging the validity of the oral law. Once again, he is challenging the validity of those human traditions. And he does so with a powerful example. He takes us back to the fifth commandment, to Exodus 20:12. "Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that your Lord is giving you." A commandment that was originally so important that failure to comply meant death. Yet, the man-made laws of Korban were seen to override it. Here was an indisputable case of human traditions clashing with the word of God. Thus, as we read in Matthew 15:6, Jesus quite rightly summarizes, "You nullify the word of God for the sake of your human traditions." This was no idle charge. Quite to the contrary. The practices of Korban meant vowing property and finances to the temple. Once promised, this couldn't be revoked, not even to the care of your parents in old age or sickness. But it was, however, agreed that a person making the vow could continue using their finances during their lifetime. This was a pious fraud that invalidated the law of God as expressed in the fifth commandment. And Jesus puts it characteristically bluntly, as we read in Matthew 15:7, "You hypocrites." Jesus and the Pharisees had a totally different attitude to worship. Both believed in prior grace, but the Pharisees' response to this was a misled passion for detailed precision in worship. For Jesus, it meant loving obedience, resulting in an intimate relationship with God, who, as we know, he called Abba, like a child crying out, "Dear Daddy." For the Pharisees, it was about proper procedure. For Jesus, it was about the heart. And so, Jesus convicts them, once again by calling back to the Old Testament, to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 29:13. The Lord says, "These people come near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught." The worship is shallow, face value. Instead, we are to worship with authenticity. And how do we do that? By worshiping with the heart. The Archbishop William Temple offers this thought-provoking description of worship. To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. It's about the heart, not earthly ritual. Perfect worship doesn't always have to be perfect. The second point Jesus makes is this: that it is inner purity and not external ceremony that matters. The Pharisees, with the emphasis on ablutions, were of the opinion that what entered the body could defile them. And in their defense, they had good reason for this belief. It was not only substantially represented in the scribal traditions, but it was also heavily dependent on the purity laws found in the book of Leviticus. But what does Jesus have to say on the matter? Well, as we read in Matthew 15, verse 10 and 11, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." He goes on to explain further as we read in Matthew 15 to 20. Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the thing that comes out of a person's mouth comes from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." This, as Mark correctly perceives in his gospel account of this incident, was the moment that Jesus declared all meats clean. A revolutionary statement, a declaration doing away with centuries of tradition in the eyes of the Pharisees. Not only tradition, but the ceremonial law. And so, quite understandably, the Pharisees were livid. Jesus consciously and deliberately sets himself up against the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. Now, as I'm sure that many of you are aware, we are currently living in a climate that, if we're being completely honest, is quite hostile to Christians. Everyone from atheists to Muslims to Jewish people, and many other people of many different faiths and religions, are seemingly constantly trying to undermine and invalidate our faith in Christ and the Word of God. From what I've seen, an increasingly common way that they try to achieve this is by calling into question the source of our belief that all meat is clean, that we are not beholden to the ceremonial law. They try to do this by claiming that it was not in fact Jesus, but Peter that declared all meat clean. They reference Acts 10, verse 9 to 16, and that message that Peter got from God with the carpet coming down with the food. And claim that we do not, in fact, follow the teachings of Jesus, but the teachings of a mortal man, the teachings of Peter. They claim that it was, in fact, Peter and not Jesus that declared all meat clean, and that we are sinning against God. As you can see here this morning, they are 100% wrong. The claims are completely false. I read again Matthew 15:11. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them. And again, 15:17-19. Do you not see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are the words of Jesus, the words of God. Once again, it is right there in black and white, in the living, breathing word of God. Jesus declared an end to the ceremonial law. Jesus declared all food clean. And so, if anyone ever does, as me and Paul experienced when we were in Blackburn, come over as people trying to promote a different faith and discredit Christianity, discredit the word of God, discredit Jesus. And they do say that Jesus didn't declare all food clean. He's one of our prophets. We know that. But then now you have your answer. It's really quite simple. You can tell them that in fact it was not Peter, but Jesus that declared all meat clean. And when they don't believe you, you can lovingly, and I emphasize lovingly, show them Matthew 15:11 and the word of God. For it's what comes out of the mouth that defiles the body, not what goes in. It is our sinful words that offend God, not the food we eat. And so, once again, ladies and gentlemen, our message this morning comes down to this. It's once again an issue of the heart. Once again, it's what's inside, should I say, that matters. God sees past the mask that we show the rest of the world, into our heart of hearts, our very soul. Do you have a heart for ceremony or a heart for God? And please, please don't get me wrong. I'm a little higher up the candle than many of you in this room. I love a good ceremony. But I love it because I love God, not because I love ceremony. It comes down to this. Do you care about looking holy or being holy? Or as holy as we can be? Authentic worship comes from the heart. It comes from a heart turned towards God in loving obedience and faithful adoration. Other way around. Loving adoration and faithful obedience. And so, although all of us, no matter what denomination we are part of, have some element of ceremony to our worship, this Easter, let us worship God with authenticity, with hearts, eyes, and souls lifted heavenward to our Saviour, the perfecter of faith, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died on a cross and rose again for our salvation. Thank you.